I love the way that song ended. Maybe the last six words. Till I reach the promised land. You know, that's our desire. And really, I think that's the desire of everybody that has any concept that there's a heaven out there. Want to be able to make it. For some time now, the Lord's been dealing with me about the end. You know, there's so many options out in the world today. Where you live, where you work, what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you want to buy, where you want to live. All of those options. And yet, when I come down to breathe my last breath, there's only two. It's heaven or it's hell. It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or if you have no money when you die. It's still just the same. It's the same thing. You don't get, it's one or the other. And it was decided by choices that I made throughout life. We are a blessed people to be able to meet together like this in services, to be able to go to camp meetings and be challenged in our soul. Warnings given to me to make changes in my life, because I too will one day face God with just the same two options that have always been out there. It's heaven or it's hell. And it has come to me strong enough that I'd like to share with you this morning, hell. You know, we hardly ever hear about hell anymore. It's not a pleasant subject. I would rather always hear about heaven. But I'd like to look at a verse in 2 Corinthians 5th chapter and in the 10th verse. Here's the end for every one of us. 10th verse says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then the next verse, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You know, we don't often think about the terror of the Lord. We just hear, even out in the religious world, God is love. And he sent his son to cover all the sins that you're ever going to commit out in the future if you'll believe on him. This one talks about there's a terror of the Lord. And I was thinking about when you go over to Revelations, when it talks about the great white throne. I'd like to look at that. In the 20th chapter, this is something that every person, each one of us in here today, we're going to see this one day. 12th verse of the 20th chapter. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And it goes on down through there on the 15th verse. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. To me, I think the importance for us today is just to have flashing out before my eyes, Dan, whatever it takes, stay out of hell. Brother Salmon, some of you would remember him, minister from when I was a child. He told us about a dream that he had and a message that he was preaching. And he said in that dream, there was a road, kind of a wide blacktop road. A lot of people hurrying along that road in one direction. And he said he was standing off kind of a little distance from it, and he saw what they could not see. As they were hurrying along all in one direction and so packed together, he could see that the road came to an abrupt end, kind of like a chasm. It had all dropped away. And realizing this is hell out ahead for these people. And they're rushing along. And so he, being an evangelist, is going to warn them, don't stop. Whatever you do, don't go there. And so he said he was running along beside them, calling out to them, stop. Whatever you do, stop. Up ahead is trouble. But he said they're just running along, and he could see up at the front just them going over the edge. And he could see even some that as they went over the edge, they realized the danger of it. And they caught the edge of the asphalt with their fingers and hung on. You know, that made an impression to me. Because he said then he would see somebody step on them and off they would go. You know, we'd like to always just think about heaven. But there's a song that says, "My soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise," for the Christian. "Don't think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till you got the crown." So to the old people that are just days away from eternity, it's still there. The warning still goes. Whatever you do, stay out of hell. Because I was thinking about the verse that would go along with what Brother Salmon said. You remember right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, said there's going to be many people in that day. They're going to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done?" And they named out all the things that they had done. And at the time that they needed to hear something pleasant the most, what they heard was, "I never knew you." And so it flashes out as a warning to me today. Don't ever get easy that I've got it made. I can make heaven my home. There was a minister I read about just recently of a mega church. His name was Rob Bell. And he had consistently in services on his Sunday morning services, he would have 8,000 to 10,000 people coming to his services. And he had this explanation. He wrote some books. And he said, "I found out that there are millions of people that are fascinated with Jesus, but they cannot do the standard Christian package. I love the thought of Jesus and going to heaven, but I just can't do what the Bible teaches. Not willing to do what the Bible teaches." You know, the Bible tells us, you better take up your cross and follow me daily. There's some warnings for me. You know, you go to funerals out in the world and nobody goes to hell anymore. It matters not how you lived, what they did. They've gone to heaven. You read the obituaries today. If you just went and got the newspaper today and looked in it at the obituaries, you'll find scattered all through there, they've gone to be with the Lord. What I'm so thankful about is it's not my place to figure out if they have or if they haven't. But it's my place to be warned that if I'm not careful, I'll be able to easily say I'm going to be with the Lord. And there'd be something in my life that would keep that from happening. I read in the newspaper of an incident of a young man. He went with some friends down to Florida. They were out on the beach, and he went to a sand dune, the high rise of sand, and he decided to tunnel into it. And he dug a tunnel way on back into that sand dune, and then it collapsed and killed him. And the responses really stood out to me. What the young people were saying of him. One of them said, he's in heaven now, flirting with the angels. The concept of what people have today. Another one said, he is dancing right now with the angels, teaching them some new moves. You know what? We need to be reminded ourselves, there is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. What's going to go to heaven? Look in the 8th chapter of the book of John. This has stood out so clear to me. Because you know, the Jews thought if anybody gets to make it, we're going to get to. And in the 8th chapter and in the 21st verse, Jesus talking to them here. Jesus then said, Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. When I look at this verse wasn't just for that day. This verse is our guideline until eternity. He says, I'm going my way, and you're going to seek me. Now, I don't really find where the Jews ever sought for Christ, but they did seek for a Messiah. They were looking for something else to come to deliver them from the Roman rule, but it didn't happen. You're going to seek me. You're going to die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. You know what? We don't have a heaven to take anyone to. It's God's heaven, and he sets the rules for who gets to go there. And here he says, dying in sins will keep me from going where he's going. There is another verse I want to look at in Deuteronomy. I don't think there's any of these verses that will say, well, I never saw that verse before. But there's verses that tell us we need to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Because out ahead of me is eternity, with only two places to go. In Deuteronomy, in the 30th chapter and the 15th verse, it says, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. So many of the verses that we'll look at this morning show both sides of the picture. And then this one goes on telling us which way he would like for us to choose. But there's another verse. I want to hold this one in Deuteronomy for a little bit and look at Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, there's things that have not changed with time. From the beginning of time until now, it stayed the same. There's been a lot of changes in the world around me, but this law has never changed. The law of sowing and reaping. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And it goes on to continue for the other side. What I would like for this morning is to see the side that will send me to hell. And then maybe this afternoon be able to look at the other side of what it's going to make be to make heaven my home. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And you know, we see that happening around us. We see people that live in sin and sad things happen to their life now. That is nothing compared to what we understand will happen when they breathe their last, unless they make some changes. The song that we sing, soon you shall gather. We shall gather what we now scatter. Unto your life give diligent heed. What we are sowing surely is growing. That which we reap is going to be just like the seed that we sowed. Back in Deuteronomy 30 again, he gives instruction in the 16th through the 18th verse. And I find this so many places in the Bible. He will tell us the good that will come from you if you will keep the commandments. He did the same thing with Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. He said, if your heart will be after me, this will follow. Your kingdom will be a perpetual kingdom. It will continue on. But so many places I see this little word, if. You can make a choice and take it the other way, should you want to. And that's what this one is. I've said before you life, this day, 15th verse, life and good, death and evil. And then he goes on in the 16th verse, he tells you, you're going to have some blessings come to you if you'll walk in his ways and his commandments. But then the 17th verse gives us a choice. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go and possess it. 19th verse, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. And then he finishes it off with, choose life. Don't have to, but the recommendation is choose life so that both thou and your seed shall live. You know, we find out choices. A lot of people say, I'm an island to myself. What I do is my own business. But you know what? It flows out to others around us. My children can be affected by decisions that I'm making. My children can be lost in the end because of decisions that I have made. And what is so terrible about that is I may come back and be saved. And my children say, don't want to have anything to do with it. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. We look at Adam and Eve when the Lord told them of every tree in this garden, freely eat it. You can eat whatever you want of it, but there's just one tree. Don't eat of this one, lest you die. I always do, just focus on that tree and the bad part. It almost made the whole garden look terrible. But you know, I realized something. He had set before them also a tree that we don't ever talk about hardly, and it was the tree of life. For them to be able to eat of that tree and live forever. What he had planned for them before the fall. The reason I know that is because right at the end of that account, it tells us in the last of the third chapter. You remember it said he had to put a flaming sword at the entrance to the garden, lest they should be able to come back in and eat of the tree of life and live forever. The plan that he had for them. You know what? He still has that plan for mankind today. I read over there in 2 Peter 3, he's not willing that any would perish, but that everybody would be able to come to repentance. But it's a choice that we make. Think of a song that says, oh soul, be up and doing. We have no time to lose. There's life and there's death before every one of us. Oh, which one will we choose? You know, I say quickly, oh, I choose heaven. But you know what? Daily, I'm going to make decisions that's going to head me in a direction. I'd like to go to a verse in Isaiah. In the 59th chapter. In the first verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. You know, he told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat of this, you're going to die. And they kept on living. But you know what? They did die on that day. There was a separation. He said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and they're still breathing. You know what? It's possible for me to be continue living in this life and be separated from God. But unless I make some adjustments, I'll be separated from him eternally because of choices that I've made. Your sins have hid his face from you. It's not that he has a problem being able to save everyone. It's choices that I'm making that's deciding it. There was another one in Isaiah in the 14th chapter. And in the 9th verse, and this one is, he's given this this reading to the king of Babylon. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Now that would be some testimony to give a person. Tell you what, hell is moved. You know, celebrities, people just want to throng around them. They want to be in their presence. Hell is moved to meet thee at thy coming. There's one other one in Isaiah, in the 5th chapter, and in the 14th verse. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, their multitude, their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. You know, I never read where heaven needed to be enlarged. We read where Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But here, because I believe we look at that and God never intended anyone to be lost. He made provisions that they would not be. But it's choices that people are making. You know, that comes down to me. How can hell be connected to everyday decisions that I'm making? I find in the Bible, as I've been studying this, there are roads to hell. Yes. Places that I get myself into that it will... Brother Marty was here just a few weeks ago. and was telling us about things that 2 and 2 is going to be 4, and this, the repetition of it, you can tell what's going to happen next. And this one, he's telling us, you get on this road and you continue, and you will land yourself in hell. There was a road to hell, and Joseph refused to travel it. When he met Potiphar's wife, and the enticement came to him, and his response was, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He refused to get on the road. I'd like to look at some of these roads. Let's go to Proverbs in the 7th chapter. Because some of these we can say, I'd never be tempted with that. The 7th chapter of Proverbs describes Potiphar's wife, describes that type of a woman. And here's what she has to say in the 19th and 20th verse. The goodman is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He's taken a bag with him, of money with him, and he'll come home in an appointed time. We will not be caught. But there's something worse than being caught. It says in the 22nd verse, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the stocks. 21st verse says, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. And look at the 27th verse. Her house is the way to hell. You know what? To be able to recognize there's places that lead directly to hell, going down to the chamber of death. There's another one in Proverbs 9 and 17 through 18. Stolen waters are sweet. You know what the world looks around, the religious world looks around at sin. Some of it, if I just don't get caught, is what's important. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Roads that will lead a person to hell. You know, there is a little clip of a song that we sing. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost. And thinking of Adam and Eve, a shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost. One quick decision to pick that fruit and eat it when she had been told not to do it has cost mankind ever since then. She had no clue that it could have done it. These readings here that we're talking about, we say, oh, the Christian won't ever be bothered with that. You know who wrote that song, A Shudder Came Over My Spirit? It was D.O. Teasley. You know, we read his songs and you say, boy, there was a man that had a close walk with God. He wrote the song Eternity. And he was caught on this road to hell. Now, I want to tell you, there is, while there's breath, there is hope for a person that turns and repents. But with D.O. Teasley, he got on this road and he never returned. Took it to his grave without repenting. And I look at these roads, the things that can cause me to be lost. There is something else that we don't even like to talk about, but it's a road to hell. Pornography is a road that leads to hell. And I want to tell you, it's a lot more available to people today than it's ever been. And I need to always remember, because I use the internet too. And when I clip on and I'm needing to look to buy something and up comes this, I need to quickly realize this is a road to hell. With that, Jesus came bringing a closer message than had ever been preached before. He said, I say unto you, He that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. I want to make heaven my home. I need to realize there are roads that lead to hell. And I say, oh, those right there, check myself today, everything's fine. I would not even be caught there. I want to tell you, there's another road to hell that can come real, real close to home. It's in the third chapter of James. In the fifth verse, it says, the tongue is a little member. It boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, fire is something that we all enjoy. They're selling a lot of these little chimeneas for people that live in the city. You can put it out on your porch. You can sit there and feed little wood into it and have a little fire to sit around. A small fire is good. You know, my tongue can do some good. I can use it to bring comfort, encourage somebody that's discouraged. But you know what? It has the capability of burning out of control. I've had times in the past where I'm going to burn some brush. And I've got a big brush pile and it was very dry. And I light it. You know what? There's a period of time where I'm in control. I can stomp it out. I could pour a cup of water on it and it goes out. But you know what? It takes just a very little time until now the whole thing is engulfed in fire, in flames, and there's not a thing I can do to stop it. And somehow it seemed like that's when I recognize the wind is blowing. Must have just started. No, it didn't just start. I just wasn't watching it for it before because I was in control of the situation. And then had that wind to blow the fire out and burn a half mile of land out of control. This says, the tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. 10th verse says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And you know, I can say, no, I don't curse. But you know, having control of my tongue has the same potential. I think about times in the past where I felt I was so right when there was church trouble and I had something that had to be said. And there's a verse that says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So it justified me being able to say it. Tongue is a fire, and mine was out of control. And it took the Lord years before he could deal with me in a place that I would understand and go back to clear it up. That sixth verse says, the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. It setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. At the end of it all, my tongue can cause me to be lost in the end. How much I need the Lord to help me to have it in control. I was thinking of the verse, you know, my tongue, looking at these verses, my tongue has the ability to take a volatile situation and either inflame it or help to put it out. We see today road rage where two people become inflamed and neither one will back down. Just in the last few weeks, the one down in New Orleans where a great football player and somebody else that's just a normal guy get into a road rage incident where neither one is willing to back down. And now today, the football player is out in eternity and the other one will probably spend the rest of his life in prison. And you know what? It's pretty hard to avoid hell when you go out into eternity in a rage. While all the time there's a verse that tells us a soft answer will turn away wrath. Grievous words will stir up anger. I say, Lord, help me to have my tongue in control, realizing that it has the potential of landing me in hell. There are verses that try to give me a little picture of what hell is. I'd like to look at the book of Mark. Mark in the 9th chapter and in the 43rd verse. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And then on down through those next verses, it says, continues on, if your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Now I look at those, and I believe what it's trying to tell me is give me a picture, whatever it takes, whatever you have got to cut loose in your life. This is not actually talking about it's going to do you any good to cut your hand off literally. We're talking about a condition of the heart. When Solomon told his son, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is what it's dealing with. For me to realize the seriousness of going out into hell because of something I was not able to control, it would be much more important for me to get rid of it. You know, there are other things that are a road to hell that I would have never thought could be. Unforgiveness is a road to hell. Can it be? No, that's just an emotion that I have because of what somebody else did to me. Let's look at a verse. Because these things, you know what? I have a desire to go to heaven. I want to go, and yet all the time I see these little caution lights. You better be real careful of your life then. In 6 and 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And you know what? I need that to be able to go to heaven. And there's only two places to go. If I don't make heaven, it's the other one. But the next one is the one I'm concerned about. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. I need to have that always in my mind as a caution light. When someone does me wrong, and they intended to do me wrong, and the feeling comes up inside of me, and if I release them quickly, they won't even know that they hurt me. So I hold it for a period of time. There is mercy all in through here, and the Lord works with us. But what I need to realize is the seriousness of this road right here that I can take so easy. Because you know what? I've been on the road. I'd say every one of us have been on the road. That if I don't change this thing, it can lead me to hell. And I never saw it to be that serious. There's another one in Hebrews 12 and 15. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'd like to see this bitterness can be a road that leads me to hell. That if I don't get rid of it in my life, it has the potential of causing me to be lost in the end. So for me to see it as the poison that it is, I want to make heaven my home. You remember where Moses said he chose rather to suffer afflictions with the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is a payday for sin. You watch sin abounding all around us today, always keep in mind. There's that verse that says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, I know it's going to be well with the righteous. And so when sin just abounds around us, just keep in mind something. There is a payday for it. And that is told to us in Romans 6. And I think it'd be good for me out in the future, keep these verses in mind, because the devil doesn't care how he gets us. Deception is a terrible thing. And what's going to be so terrible about it is I'm going to be the one that's not able to see it. And I could be lost in the end. In Romans 6 and 23, this is still just like the laws of nature that God put in place. The wages of sin, it's still death, eternal death. and talk about these verses that show both sides of it, we'll look at this one too. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. To God, to Adam, letting him know clearly, here's the crossover point. Don't cross this area. And the price that Adam and Eve paid. There's a verse that says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Eve continued on living, and yet she was separated from God. I was thinking of a song. It says, you have flattered me and promised, this is the devil here, you have flattered me and promised much pleasure in your reign. I sowed and I reaped your harvest. Now what is my wretched gain? The wages of sin is death, and it's woe, and it's bitter remorse. I found it so. You know what? It's so much better to find it so in this life and turn and repent, and God forgives it, and you make heaven your home. Otherwise, it's bitter remorse and woe forever. The closest description that we have, the best description that we have of hell, is with the rich man and Lazarus. It's in Luke 16, and it's where we see that both of them died. And you know, we think of the next thing that comes after death is a funeral service, where maybe with the rich man, maybe the people told about how good he was at business dealings. We never read a thing about the rich man being dishonest. We find places in the Bible where there are warnings about you not dealing wrong with the poor. We don't see that about him. We really don't see anything that he could have fallen from except his opportunity to be a help to someone around him. But where the rich man died, the very next step was hell. It didn't say, okay, it happened after the funeral service. It's when I draw the last breath that I step out into eternity in one of the two places. For Lazarus to be comforted in Abraham's bosom. For the rich man in hell to lift up his eyes being in torment. You know what? It doesn't matter that Rob Bell is able to preach to 10,000 people and he's written books now to prove that there is no hell. It says that the rich man is still there today. And he said, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus with just one drop of water? There are a lot of parables that Jesus told. It says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto something. He didn't do that with this story. He said there was a certain rich man, and there was a man named Lazarus. And I can look at all those things, and I find out something, I learn something that I didn't know happens in eternity, in hell. It says Abraham told him, son, remember. You know, as we get older, our memory starts failing. Folks, we will wish in hell that we had no memory. But he had a memory because he said, son, remember, thou in thy lifetime received good things. But now he's comforted and you are tormented. There's that verse of a song that says, if then you're lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair, you will remember that you've chosen to be there. This message is a warning to me. If the righteous scarcely be saved, the devil is going to do everything he can to cause all of us to be lost. It says, many in that day are going to say, Lord, Lord, we did a lot of things for you. And God himself will say, I never knew you. This morning we heard about Pilgrim's Progress and Ignorant. I read about him as I was studying this. Ignorant had plans to be able to make it to the celestial city. And you remember where Christian talked to him and said, but you crawled up over the... Did you go through there and get your certificate that is going to be needed? No, I didn't. Well, what do you think is going to cause you to be able to get in? And he said, my heart tells me that everything's okay between me and God. And it says that when Christian went up to the gate. Says he produced his certificate and the gate swung open. And Ignorant was right behind him. When Ignorant came up, he proclaimed, "Hey, open up the gate." And the gate didn't open. They said, "Where is the certificate?" And he didn't have one. And there was something that was said there that I think we all need to remember. It says that he was rejected and said some of the angels came out and they threw him into a door in the side of the hill. And it says, "I beheld that even at the gates of heaven, when I was so sure that I would be herein, enter in, thou faithful one, even at the gates of heaven, there is a way to hell." Right there when I need it the most, I'm breathing my last, and I have deceived myself that I'm ready to go and lost it at the end. We read of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. 10 of them would have made heaven their home had time not continued to pass, because there was a time when all of them had a burning lamp, but time continued to pass. And somehow it's easy for me to read that story and almost be like if we had gone to the wedding the other day and, well, it's already started. Oh, well, maybe I'll come to another one. I'll get to go to another one sometime. No, this is something more serious than just I'm late for the wedding and I won't be able to go to this one, but maybe I can go to another one. This is eternal life or eternal destruction. And the preparations that I have made at the time that he comes for me, I beheld a great white throne. There are a lot of people today that say there is no God. I don't have to bow my knee to him. It says every knee is going to bow on that day. I need to keep this seriousness before me, and I hope this afternoon to be able to look at the other side of it, because I think the other side is just as strong, just as positive. We don't have to barely make it in, hope I can make it. I don't know if I will or if I won't. There can be an entrance just like Christian was able to see when he reached it. But until then, there are warnings to me. When we go to Monarch and we look at the sign back on the back, it says, "I must die, but when? I must meet God, but how? I will live in eternity, but where?" And I'm finding right now for myself, there is a great danger. Of lethargy. Yes. It's almost like a wet blanket just coming down over you. Look, just settled down. It's good enough. You're doing good enough. Works won't save me. But it can sure tell the Lord how serious I am about the price that he paid for me. There were 10 that would have made it. Time continued to pass and they got lax. That's the danger for us as Christians. I wouldn't sin. I'd stay away from it. The devil says, okay, I can't reach him on that area. But I tell you what, I can get him into the area of falling into the lukewarm category, where the Lord said, "I would that you were hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." I don't want that to happen when there's no chance for me to make an adjustment with it. I'd like for us to close with a song. It's number 405. Eternity draws near as time moves on. When this earth is going to disappear and I shall have gone out in the great unknown to reap what I have sown, summoned up before the throne, and then where shall I go? Folks, we don't have to have a question. Every day I can walk before the Lord and tell him, "Lord, show me who I am." Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Lord, I need you to search my heart, and I want to be honest before you. I desire to make heaven my home. Let's sing that, stand and sing that number 405.